I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Back on the scene. With your host, yeah. Podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 650. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, let's start off with Paris.
Good morning, Danny. How are you?
Good, man. How's everything, man?
It's good, man. It's been. I'm still sick. I'm getting over it. Think I'm at the end part of it, but everything's good, man. Had a good gaming weekend.
A lot of people have been talking about our last episode, man. All about Scorpio. Great feedback. So, shout out to all the listeners out there that have been hitting us up. And also joining us, too, is Pete in the house.
What up?
Pete, what's going on, man? How's everything, man?
Doing all right. A little disappointed in last night's UFC event. But not here to talk about UFC. We're here to talk about video games. So, let's jump into this.
Yeah, man. Pete, so I know you also been getting great feedback about... our last episode, right?
Yeah, I love the way we've started integrating more conversations and community, and I think that's been the one thing that we've always been able to draw upon is you know, listening to and talking to our community, and it's the feedback has been great from people that are, you know, proponents of PC and Sony and Microsoft, obviously, and you know, we've had some interesting comments on the Twitters. From people in high places, and it's good to hear those reactions from all those different walks of life, as whether it be, you know, positive or negative critiques, and it was a really good episode. It was something that we were all excited to hear, not for whatever allegiances or whatever, just to hear how this pushes the gaming industry forward. It pushes the gaming experience forward because we're getting better tech, which pushes the other developers and other publishers and other hardware manufacturers. And it's that evolving cycle of development, just moving things forward.
Definitely, man. Totally agree with that, man. All right. So head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag. Listen to our past episodes. And you also can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Yep. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, first thing first, we'd like to give a huge, huge shout out to Eric at Tascam. The whole Tascam team over there, they hooked us up a couple of days ago. They sent us new recorders for us for the podcast. I received the DR100 Mark III. That is a very dope recorder. I've been testing it out now for a couple of days, and I'm loving it, man. And I know Paris and Pete also received recorders from Tascam. Guys, you could break it down which one you have.
We got the DR44WL, which is the direct upgrade line from the DR40, which is what I have been using for the past 2 years. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal. It's about the same weight. It's a little bit larger in size, or a little more square in size. But that's because they were able to pack in a whole bunch of more, you know, guts, including Wi-Fi connectivity. Improved interface. They brought back the jog wheel that was there on the 100 that I think Paris used to use, which I'm still trying to get back into getting used to using the jog wheel, kind of reminiscent of the old iPods. because the DR40, they went away from that, and they went now they're going back to the jog wheel functionality. But overall, it's a solid unit. We've always, as you guys know, we've always been big fans of Tascam. We've been using Tascam for years for whether it's recording on site or recording locally at home for the podcast. And it's just, you got to give it up to him, man. Rock solid equipment. Love it.
Definitely, man. Definitely. Paris, anything you want to say about that?
No, I mean, I've actually not started using it yet, like I was telling you before, but I'm thankful for Tascam sending it over. I just got to set it up, and I want to make sure everything works, you know, before I jump into just using it exclusively. But probably by next week, I'll have some thoughts on the recorder and everything.
Definitely, man. All right, but shout out to Tascam. All right, so we're going to go straight to fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, so we have a couple of voicemails and a lot of emails. So let me see which one I'm going to start out first.
This one, brother, I hope I'm saying your real name right, because I always call you by the nickname, but Caramo. And he is saying, hey, gang, I hope that you are doing well. With the Scorpio specs being released, I keep hearing 4K 60 frames per second for its games. I got a GTX 1080, and those settings aren't even possible on some older games like Crysis 3. So I have a really hard time believing that this new console will deliver 4K 60 frames per second ultra on all games. I can see this happening on racing games, but not on all games like Call of Duty, Destiny, and Grand Theft Auto. It'd be nice if it can, but I really doubt it. Let me know what you guys think of this. Thanks. Okay, here's my thought on this really quick. If you look at what, obviously, Digital Foundry, and they're still putting out videos, because hell, I just saw one right now talking about how they're hitting Forza at 4K 60 frames per second on Project Scorpio, right? The proof is in the pudding. I mean, we're not going to know 100% until we get to E3 on this, but just the potential and the confidence that Microsoft is showing today by letting someone like Digital Foundry show off Project Scorpio kind of tells me they think they're going to be able to hit this on their first party games. So on a Halo, on a Gears, anything that is coming directly from Microsoft so that their developers know that Project Scorpio is the only spec that they need to, you know, obviously optimize for. I think potentially they are going to be able to hit that. If they don't, then it goes back to everything that I've been saying the past few months. Then you got to prove why someone won't want to get this over a PlayStation 4 Pro, as an example, or just build your own PC. But if they're able on their first party games to hit 4K 60 frames per second consistently on their AAA titles, then this is very exciting. And this is what the potential of Project Scorpio truly is. I'll just say this. Go follow Albert Pinello from Microsoft on Twitter and just go read his timeline. He's one of the lead guys on this, and he seems highly confident that they're going to be able to do this. I'm not going to say 100% they will, but E3, look, if they're at E3 not touting 4K 60 frames per second on their like Crackdown 3 and things like that, then I'll be skeptical on it. But so far, you know, what they're doing with Project Scorpio looks very exciting.
That's on the last episode I mentioned that they should show third-party games during like the presentation at E3 or even before E3 if they plan to have an event in next month. But they should do that so people could feel like more confident, like, all right, this is good. Okay, I see myself buying this later this year. But if they're only going to show first-party games, then I think that's not going to be enough, man, in my opinion, if you really want to get everybody's attention.
I don't know. I'm still of the belief that they're going to hold off. I think they need to produce a lot more. Like you said, they need to be able to put more physical proof, whether it be in video or digital form or what have you, for their fans and their consumer base. We've seen we've obviously seen the video for Forza. I want to see something else. I want to see another first party game. I want to see more performance on it. So, true. I just want to see more proof until, you know, it's something that we could potentially see as a counter towards going PC gaming.
All right, so we have another question. This is from Alan. He wants to know if we could discuss about like the potential life of Project Scorpio, whether console gamers should be prepared to buy like the latest and greatest console every 2 or 3 years. He's a little bit worried that this seems like a quick fix for Microsoft, like solution to next gen. Do you think, guys, that this console is going to last a very, very long time or what?
Sure, it's going to last a long time because the Xbox One, the one that you bought in 2013, is going to last a long time. I mean, it's not going away anytime soon. I mean, it came out in 2013. I would realistically say you will still be playing Xbox One games going into 2020. You know what I mean? That's 7 years. That's realistic. Here's the thing. Like he said, he's a sucker for high-end console graphics. So, you know, it remains to be seen if Microsoft and Sony are going to do these mid-gen upgrades next time, if there's going to be a PlayStation 5 Pro or an Xbox 2 4K X or whatever the hell they'll call it, right? If they do, it's choice. No one's going to force you to buy that mid-gen upgrade. You buy it because you want the latest and greatest fidelity, you know, be it, let's just say it's 8K resolution by that point or something like that, right? You're buying it because of that, but you don't have to buy it to play the games because the games will still work on the console that you buy, you know, at the beginning of that generation. So, you know, like I said, Danny, is like you love to say, it's all choice. No one's forcing you to do it.
That's true.
You know what I mean? But it's smart what they're doing because they're saying our games work on any of the pieces of hardware that's a part of that platform, right? So you only need to buy the quote-unquote premium hardware if that's what you want. If you want to be that high-end customer to buy that, no one's forcing you to do it. So I got a feeling that, okay, let me back up real quick. I think we're seeing a PlayStation 4 Pro and we're seeing Xbox Scorpio because they're fixing the problems from 2013 because they rushed these systems to market. And it's literally what these consoles should have been at launch, in my opinion. Right. So I think this is just the half measure fix. I don't know if long term they're going to do this next time, but if they do, you're not going to be forced into upgrading to those systems to continue to play the games, which I basically just repeated everything I said, but there you go. I'm done. I'll shut up. I'm sick.
All right. P, any opinion about that? Are you good?
Considering he's the target demographic for this, if he's got a 4K TV or a monitor, then I would recommend the Scorpio because the jump between, from a power perspective, between here on the Xbox One to the Scorpio is so big. If he was going from a PS4 Pro to an Xbox Scorpio, I'd probably say, you know, maybe hold off because it's as Ledbetter said on the Digital Foundry video, you're not going to, or one of the Digital Foundry videos, you're not going to see such a diverse jump in performance. If you're going from the base Xbox One all the way up to the Scorpio, then absolutely yes, it's almost like a next gen leap from a power perspective. Whether it's going to be an every 2 or 3 year thing, I don't think so because, I mean, like Paris said, we're 4 years now out, potentially considering, it could potentially be a fifth. I mean, from when it was launched, you're talking a minimum 3 to 5 years for development, sourcing, design, testing. So I don't think we're going to see a new one every 2 to 3. Is there a potential for a Scorpio Lite in 2 or 3 years from now? You know, a little more dense, condensed package? Possibly. I mean, we've seen this from every manufacturer, whether it be Apple or whether it would be, you know, Sony or everybody else. They always go for a slim model. So it's possible, but that's more just to condense the package, you know, as technology improves, because that does that on a 4 to 6 month scale anyways. So it's possible 5 years from now or 2 or 3 years from now, we see a smaller slim edition. It's complete rumor. I mean, we're talking about stuff that hasn't even been hitting market on the regular Scorpio. But you know, it's not like they're going to drastically change the hardware in 2 or 3 years. They may just condense it, but that's my opinion. I think if you are the target demographic, like you said, then yes, I would recommend you buying it.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so this is another email from Chris. He said, I heard you guys discussing about digital games quite a bit lately. I just want to say I agree with more. They're convenient, but someone like me who lives in an area with the max internet speed of 4 megs, digital copies are quite useless. It literally takes 40 hours to download a full game. Thanks for taking the time to read this. I appreciate your opinions and most of all, your podcast. Keep it up, Chris. So, I mean, there's a lot of people that probably live in an area that the internet speed is like extremely slow. And yeah, it might take them a very, very long time to download a full game. What are your thoughts about that? You think digital game is still going to be the future, even though like in this area, the internet speed is kind of slow?
It's difficult to say. It's more of a preference, obviously. Some people have the luxury of having a higher performance internet circuit at their house. Some people are limited with either lower speed or data caps, which prevents them from downloading large chunks. I think we had another reader write in about something like that, and it took them, you know, about, you know, 2 or 3 days to download games and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to be something we see in the immediate future, like over the next 2 or 3 years. I think eventually as infrastructure across the country improves and internet becomes more and more readily available. I mean, we've got people talking, you know, they're testing 5G now, you know, and that's potentially faster than, you know, the Wi-Fi that we take for granted, you know, with AC now. You know, it's faster than that on a mobile device. Mm-hmm. So as these things, as the infrastructure and its technology comes to bear, where it's, I would think it's going to be an inevitable. Unfortunately, there are rural areas, you know, that like, you know, like Chris said in the email, thank you for writing in, that's, you know, that limits them, but eventually that's just the natural progression of technology and infrastructure within the country. So who knows, in 2 or 3 years, you know, he could get bumped up to 8 to 10 megs. And at that point, it's not taking 48 hours to download the game. Also may want to consider, because even at 4 megs, at home, a 4 meg download speed still shouldn't take you 48 hours to download the game. So I would also recommend maybe taking a really good hard look at your, mm-hmm. at your hardware. Might be something else going on in there.
All right. Paris, you want to say anything before we go to a voicemail or no? You good?
No, Pete said it all.
All right. So we're going to play the first voicemail. This is from Kendrick. Check it out.
Hi guys. This is Kendrick from St. Louis. I'm just calling to talk about the Xbox reveal. First, I'm going to say I love the show. Only podcast that I watch every week. I'm just talking about the Xbox reveal. I just think that Microsoft, they kind of like fixed all the problems that they had at the launch. They had DRM. They had the way the console looked. They had the external power supply and the 900p. I think they fixed the DRM when the console first came out. They fixed the external power supply and the way the console looked with the S, and now they're fixing the 900p problem, you know, versus 1080p with the Scorpio. But I still think that the media, for the most part in general, are biased against them. You know, they always got to put an asterisk, even though when they do everything right, they put an asterisk by their, you know, whatever they do. Like, for example, they're saying, let's see the games. Well, we've seen the games. We've seen Call of Duty. We've seen Destiny 2. All these games are coming to the Xbox Scorpio. If you got a 4K PC, you know what these games, like at least Gears of War 4 and Forza 6, you know what they look like in 4K Ultra. So that's pretty much what they're going to look like in the Scorpio. At least that's what the guy from Digital Foundry said. So why won't we take them at their word? And see, I think now that Xbox has the lead, they keep saying it's all about the games. When E3 first happened, when the consoles first launched, Sony didn't have any games. They had Knack. They had, I don't even remember the other first-person shooter. I can't remember. I don't even remember what it was called when they launched. And then they had a whole bunch of indie games at their E3 conference. Microsoft had four exclusive games. Microsoft has always had the games, but they were saying Microsoft was all about TV, TV, TV. They've had more games than exclusives almost every year. This is the first year where, like, Sony has more. You know, so now everybody's talking about, well, Sony has all the games. I'm just saying, I think that's a little bit of misinformation, as if Microsoft doesn't have exclusives all the time. But I'm just saying, what do you guys think about that? And also, I just want to say, I think the good name for the new system should be the Xbox One Up. I like that, you know, like one up in something, so the Xbox One Up. But I really think they're just going to call it Xbox One 4K. You know, they did it with the 360, you know, PS3. And it would have been the Xbox 2, so they called it 360. So I think they'll just call this the Xbox 4K. Xbox One 4K, I think that'll be the real name. So, hey, guys, let me know what you think. Thanks. Bye.
All right, so Kendrick, man, he sounds a little bit mad.
Can I say something? I got to jump in on this. I'm going to be you and cut people off. Yes. Let me say this. Yeah. I appreciate the voicemail. I appreciate everything that he's saying, and I get it. But here, bottom line, why do you care so much? I wouldn't give two craps what anyone in the media has to say about how I spend my freaking money. If you want an Xbox and you feel that they have all the games that you want to play, enjoy it. What doesn't matter what I say, Danny says, freaking, I don't know, Greg, it kind of funny. It doesn't matter. If you think anyone's being biased, it's your money. It's your friends. It's the games that you enjoy. Don't let what people say freaking get you upset to the point where you feel like you got to message us and you know, and express that. I could give two craps what anyone in the media says. I really don't care. I don't care when people get mad at me on Twitter about my opinion of, oh, I play on PlayStation or I do this or I get a PC or whatever. It's your money. It's what you deem as your entertainment. You know what I mean? If Xbox is what you want to do, if that's how you get down, then play on Xbox. Bottom line. Again, you've heard what we've said about Scorpio. I think it's very impressive. It's a fantastic piece of hardware. But my opinion, the mistakes that they made in 2013 is why people are saying today, y'all got to get some games. Because PlayStation has the lead. That is just a fact at this point. So the majority of gamers out there already own a PlayStation. So they're getting their third-party games on PlayStation. We're seeing Horizon Zero Dawn and all these great exclusive games on PlayStation. So where's the incentive for someone to go run out and buy an Xbox if they already have a PlayStation is the point. And the way that you get people to do that is exclusive games. So that's why we keep saying they got to bring the games. Forget 2013. Forget all the things in the past. Today in 2017, Microsoft needs to come with exclusive content. Now, if you don't believe that, again, it's your money. Do whatever you want. All right, I'm sick. I'm done. I'll be quiet. Go ahead.
And look, Kendrick, you also got to understand, too, like, it's good that we have, like, different opinions. Like, I think a lot of people love the conversation we had during the last episode all about Project Scorpio, because we were not kissing ass. We were just being real. You know, P and Paris, they really got into the whole specs and they loved the whole everything. You know, me, I was more of like, that's not for me. You know, I'm all about the games and so on. And there's people in Microsoft that hit us up privately saying, man, that was a great conversation. I like that. Like, you know, they heard the latest episode. And it's good. I would love to see that more from people, just instead of just being biased, like, you know, I'm all about Xbox or I'm all about PlayStation. Just, you know, just be real, man. I think that helps us in the gaming industry when people are like that, you know, instead of just like being just one side, you know. But at the end of the day, it's like Pirate said, man, who cares what people say? Like, look, I love Sunset Overdrive P and Paris are always talking crap about that game. But you know what? I still love it. I think it's one of my favorite games, no matter what people say, man.
When was the last time you played it?
I've been a while because I finished
it. When was the last, if it's your favorite, one of your favorite games, when was the last time you played it?
Again, I finished the DLC and campaign, so what's the difference?
You played Sunset Overdrive. Just curious.
P, it's been a while. I finished the game. I already moved on. I'm playing other games now, you know, so... Does it really matter? That's what I'm trying to tell you, though. It doesn't really matter.
Just answer the question. When was the last time you played it? One of your favorite games.
Here it goes.
Does it matter, Pete? I mean, realistically, we're getting off track here. Let's get back to what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah, exactly, Pete. Punk.
Yeah, I was just teasing. You know this.
Of course.
At the end of the day, like Paris says, do you, boo-boo. Just, I mean, if you want to ride the Microsoft train, and that's where you go.
Yeah, but Pete, hold on a second. I mean, no. I mean that's the kind of nonsense that we see on Twitter all the time that just annoys me so much.
But I'm literally
Xbox Emerald, all that. It's like, bottom line, if the dude wants to play on Xbox, let him play on Xbox.
That's exactly what I was getting to, and this is the reason why I still have an Xbox One in my living room, because I have friends that I play with on Xbox, and I'm on PlayStation, and I'm on PC. It doesn't matter. Just do what you want to do. There's no reason to jump to conclusions. Let me finish my comment.
Let's move on now to the next topic.
Jesus.
Let's go to the next voicemail here.
Hey, Gamertag crew. This is Josh from Fargo, North Dakota. So I've just got a question that kind of Pete answered on the last episode regarding the Xbox Scorpio specs. And I'm just trying to rewheel it as a different aspect anyway, or a different perspective. So this is for Danny. Regarding, I know you don't really like, or not interested in the graphics or the technical aspects of the Scorpio. What would it take for a Scorpio game to entice you? Because being that they're going to be available on both Scorpio and Xbox One, I don't see much that they could actually add to a game other than graphics. So another good example, too, is, like, I know with ReCore, you were very upset about the loading times. You seem to like the game otherwise. If the Scorpio can offer, let's say, ReCore, but have the loading times greatly improved, would that be enough for you to purchase a Scorpio? So love to hear your comments, and you guys have a great rest of the day. Keep up what you're doing.
First of all, thanks for the voicemail, and I'll tell you this. I think that Microsoft should show stuff like new features that I can't do on my Xbox One S. For example, when they first announced Project Scorpio, they mentioned that this console will support VR. That got my attention big time, because, you know, I don't have a PC, you know, and I'm curious about the whole VR stuff, you know. So that probably most likely will make me buy a Project Scorpio. Now, if they have more new features that they announced during E3, during like the press conference and stuff, I'm all the way buying a Scorpio, you know. Show me more than just, yeah, this is the most powerful console right now, and specs and the whole 4K. Show me stuff besides that. You know, because if not, then I'll stay with my Xbox One S. But thanks for the question, man. Great question.
Hey, guys. Joe from San Antonio here. By now, the Scorpio news has probably dropped, and I'm just curious if you think, based off of hardware specs, if I should pick up a Scorpio based off of the idea of using VR and 4K at 60 frames, or if I should look into getting an AMD Ryzen Vega personal build, custom build. I know you guys are NVIDIA fans, Pete and Paris, but I just can't fathom spending that much on that. Sorry. All right. That's what I want to know. Take care.
Honestly, it depends on his PC budget, right? And looking around, because I really liked his question, and I started researching to see what it would take to build a comparable PC going with the Ryzen and a Zen combo. I don't know. I mean, unless it's $500, or he's willing to spend just over $500. That's the only way I could think that he'd be able to pull off, you know, a 480. And he may not even be able to get a Ryzen CPU, though. He would still have to maybe go on a lower tier CPU, like an i3 or something like that. But It's possible. I mean, I don't even know, because there would have to be some slick shopping to be able to meet that $500 price point, if that's what we're looking at for Scorpio. And obviously, you know, Microsoft still hasn't released the price, so it's really hard. And until they make that announcement on price, it's going to be really hard to try to do a comparable PC build. So for the meantime, you may want to check out logicalincrements.com. If you want to, if Danny could put it in the show notes, or if not, reach out to me on Twitter and I'll send you the link. But it's, you're looking around $600 if you want to incorporate an RX 480, and the Ryzen is so new that we're, you know, that's somewhere in the, what is it, $250-$300 for a Ryzen, Paris? Have you looked into that pricing yet?
Something like that. So around there.
Yeah, so if you're going 480 and a Ryzen processor, you're almost at $500. So unless you already have a cooler and a motherboard and the RAM and hard drives and power supplies and cases, that number is going to start jumping. So yeah, it's going to take some ingenious shopping. You may have to go one or the other, either just the Zen or just Ryzen, and may not be able to take an opportunity for both. But I mean, it's possible, but. I would probably say if you're limited on budget, then Scorpio may be the direction to go. But I would say hold off. Maybe ask us in a couple of weeks or whenever, you know, after Microsoft announced their prices.
No, I mean, Pete pretty much said it all. I mean, the only thing I would add in is, you know, when you look at Project Scorpio compared to building a PC, at a minimum, double the price of whatever Scorpio is going to be. If Scorpio is going to be like $500, be prepared to spend at least probably about $1,000 to get similar performance, even if it's AMD, you know, because it's just a 480 off the store shelf in your PC is not going to get the same performance that their custom, and I'm doing air quotes here, 480 is going to have in Project Scorpio or even in PlayStation 4 Pro, you know. So you just got to look at it that way. If you get into PC gaming, it is an expensive hobby compared to console gaming, because you can basically just throw money at the situation to get all the power you need. Versus a console, it is what it is when you buy it off the store shelf, and it's going to stay that way, you know, until 6-7 years down the road when you upgrade and replace it.
All right, so this next email is from Keith. How's it going, fellas? Keith from Chicago with a quick question. I've been searching all over Google to find a 4K TV for my Pro, and I want a Vizio. They said the M series was having a lot of problems, and I was curious if you guys knew of any TVs that's going to satisfy my PS4. I'm not so tech savvy with all the specs. Keep up the great work.
And that's all Paris.
That's all Paris. Yeah, I don't want to touch that one.
Okay. So it's funny, and I know I've talked about this a little bit in the past. I had a 50-inch Vizio P-Series that I was using in my office to play on PlayStation and do my PC games, you know, 4K stuff, right? So it's – and I got it in – what was it, September? It was having issues, so to speak. First one I had was having this weird half the screen was gray. You know, when you were looking at a completely white screen, you could tell that half of the color was off because one half of the screen was gray. So hit up Vizio, they replaced that. Got another TV. That one would start just doing this weird freezing stuff. And it was after you start putting out firmware updates, because when I originally got it, it was perfectly fine. It started doing this weird freezing thing in the middle of games. All right. Complained about that one to Vizio, they replaced that. Got a third one. Doing the same damn thing, right? So at that point, I was like, I'm out. I can't do this anymore. So hit up Vizio. And to Vizio's credit, their customer service has been impeccable. I literally had the head of their marketing, because I was talking about it on Twitter, the head of their marketing called me on the phone on a Friday night to ask about my issues. Had a tech hit me up the next day, run me through all the troubleshooting issues, everything. And, you know, it just... It wasn't being resolved. And I straight up told him, I'm like, look, I don't want another replacement TV. I go, this is ridiculous. It's been three televisions. I can't do this anymore. So I sent the TV back, and literally yesterday I got a check for the full amount. They sent me full retail amount. They gave me my money back. So now I'm on the hunt for getting a replacement for it. What I'm using right now is actually an LG 4K television, 50 inch in my office, and that's, but it doesn't do HDR and that stuff. So that's where I'm at right now. So I know, like, he's asking this question. I cannot recommend Vizio to anyone. And it's not that they're a bad company, because like I said, their customer service is impeccable. Mm-hmm. But I just had way too many issues with that particular television. So it soured it on me, and I would not want anyone else to go through that. And I'm going to be bluntly honest. And I know we joke about me having the little blue check mark verified on Twitter. Honestly, if I didn't have that, I wouldn't have gotten my money back, because the fact that I was complaining about it on Twitter is why I got the customer service that I did get. You know, as far as all these replacements and the personal service and all that kind of stuff, I don't know if the average person is going to have that same experience. So for that alone, I would say stay away from Vizio. Probably look at something from LG, Samsung, or Sony. That'd be my
So basically story. That means, like, you know, P and I, we don't have a blue check. We don't have our account verified. So we're quote unquote regular folks. We won't get our money back.
That's not what I'm saying. You know, I'm just being honest. You know, I'm just being honest, because I highly doubt the head of marketing is going to call me on a Friday night because I was complaining on Twitter.
And that's just being honest. On the Friday.
Yeah.
All right. So we're gonna play the last voicemail here. This is about Call of Duty.
Hey, how's it going, guys? It's Eric out of Texas here. Been listening to the show for about 11 months now. Hey, so the new Call of Duty case came out that was revealed, and I'm pretty sure it's going to come out in November. You know, Call of Duty likes to milk gamers for games, but I was going to say Call of Duty says World War II, but what if it's actually World at War II? I mean, it was placed in the same era as World at War, so I mean, you never know. That'd be good, because, I mean, going back to basic shooters is kind of where people crave right now. No one likes wall climbing anymore. That whole deal is just a big mess. Also, Paris, I don't see Destiny taking over Call of Duty, man. Just, I don't know. Destiny seems like a little too complex of a game for any casual gamer to get into and just want to play for 30, 40 minutes. You can't get that out of Destiny. I feel like you can only get that out of Call of Duty, which is why Call of Duty remains the GOAT. But I don't know. I could be wrong. So I just want to see what your guys' thoughts is on that.
I get what he's saying, just for the simple fact that it is true. When you get to some of the more high-end stuff on Destiny, casual people, it's not just a quick pickup. You know, oh, I'm just going to play this for 30 minutes and put it down. I mean, literally, Pete and I, you know, with my son and like Khalid from Spawn on Me and Andrew from on the show Radio, we were doing a raid. What was that, Friday night or whatever? And hell, we were doing that for, what, a good 3 hours? 4 hours, something crazy like that. Yep. So it's a time sink. It's definitely a time sink. And like he was saying, it does get complex with some of the mechanics, whereas Call of Duty, pick up gun, point it, pull trigger. I mean, that's, you know, the basics of it, right? And why it's so popular. But the fact that he was talking about this actually being World at War II, maybe it is. Could be, you know. But, I mean, we'll see. Either way, I'm excited to see that Call of Duty is going back to World War II. I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to this year's version of it.
I mean, I was a fan of World at War when it first came out. Loved the tanks until they took them out. I think I may have mentioned this as well when we talked about the COD leak / reveal. Mm-hmm. Will it be enough to pull me back? I really don't know. I mean, I'm extremely fatigued, to be honest, on the whole Call of Duty franchise. And they'll have to do some heavy lifting to bring me away, A, from Destiny, and B, back to Call of Duty. And like Paris said, I mean, we spent a good three or four hours on Destiny the other night. I haven't laughed like that in a long time. There was times where we all had to stop and there were just tears streaming down the face. I really wish we could have streamed that. Definitely probably would have gotten an R rating for some of the language. Mm-hmm. Or some of the
content. We wouldn't have. My son was there.
That's right. So yeah, we need to definitely record that and put that up on a stream somehow. Or future raids. But yeah, it's one of the reasons why. I mean, I really hadn't played Destiny since September. And I don't want to say it was like getting on a bike and getting right back onto it and having no issues. But, you know, because some of the strats or some of the stuff was was familiar, but I you know, hadn't played it in months, so it was kind of hard. Mm-hmm. But the fun is why. I mean, I can jump back onto Call of Duty, and I don't know if I'll have that same fun. It's because it's not just, like Paris said, you know, point shoot. It's not just about shooting. You know, there's mechanics. You've got to do things. You know, and it's a teamwork thing, and that's why, while it may not be the GOAT now, it has the potential to extend beyond the reach that Call of Duty has, because it's not just it's not a one trick pony, so to speak. You know, there's more to just, you know, twitch response shooting. Mm. And I think that's, if there's going to be a title that pulls that GOAT that pulls that GOAT name away from Call of Duty, Destiny is, from a shooter standpoint, has what it takes. I mean, we have, you know, Battlefield potentially could, but I think the draw and the appeal of Destiny is what is what gives it a better chance, in my personal opinion, of pulling that title from Call of Duty.
All right, so we're gonna wrap it up. Head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag. Listen to our past episodes, and you also could find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
And also, you could go to our website, gamertagradio.com, and you could also leave a message through there, through SpeakPipe, or download the app on your through your smartphone device and leave a message, and we'll definitely play it on the podcast. We have a lot of games coming up that we're going to be reviewing on the podcast. There's a couple that I can mention that I'm getting pretty soon, so I'll keep you posted on that. And I believe, P, you have something too coming up, right, for the podcast?
There's going to be some Destiny. I think it's safe to say Destiny. Trying to get through this Bulletstorm remaster. Hopefully I'll be able to get that done soon so I can do a review for you guys. I definitely need to jump back into Horizon Zero Dawn. That game is so much fun.
All right, so we're going to wrap it up. Until next time, peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.